Today we're going to talk about the time is now. This is number 3. And it's time to follow Jesus. Now, when I say that statement, a lot of people, especially people who have been Christians for years or accepted Christ years ago, turn it off because they're thinking, I accepted Jesus. I already have all of this information. Don't do that today, okay? I want you to listen. I want you to pay attention because how many of you know, knowing Jesus, receiving a gift from Jesus, and following Jesus are two totally separate things. They're totally different things. Let me give you an example. So this is how I feel a lot of Christians live their life. Have you ever met a celebrity at one point in your life? Like you met the celebrity, you know all about them. You've seen the documentaries on them. You know where they were born, their favorite color. You know how many, we do that with celebrities, and we feel like we know them. And we may have met them at one point or another. We were at the bank the other day, and my girls met a celebrity animal that's on commercials. I'm not going to tell you who it is just because if you want to ask me, find out about it later. But they met this dog that's there, and now they're excited to see the commercial when the dog comes on a commercial, right? Like, I know that dog. They don't technically know that dog. They just met that dog one time, right? I feel like a lot of Christians know Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus. I think that a lot of Christians have accepted the gift of that he's given to them, but that's where it stops in their life. And as we're going to talk about today, that's not enough for our lives. It's not enough for our lives. And so what I want us to understand is today there is an urgency for us to change. There's an urgency for us to share Christ. The time is now. That's what we started out. The first week we talked about it's time to make a change. God's waiting on us to change. We don't have to wait on him. Change us. Amen? God's waiting on us to move. The second week we talked about choosing joy and how our strength comes from the Lord, right? From the joy that he gives us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And today we're going to talk about following Jesus and understand this. This is the one thing that we need to understand, and this is a lot of times what we miss, what we lose, okay? We lose the fact that God comes to meet us right where we are. He meets us right where we are, just as we are, exactly how we are at that moment, but he refuses to leave us that way. And that's the part that we miss on it. We miss the part where he changes us. Once we meet him, once we have an encounter with him, he completely changes everything about us is the way that it's supposed to go. We are a new creation, right? We're supposed to change. God comes and meets us. We're aware that he comes, but we're aware that he meets us just where we're at. We read scriptures like Romans 5:8. It says, but God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? He did that beforehand. Before we changed, before we even thought about changing, before we were even here to change, he made a way so that we can come to him. He meets us right where we're at. Some of us, it's this morning that's listening. Some of you, man, maybe this is good news. You've never accepted it. You've never been a part of that. And you've never understood. And you look at your life, and I hear it all the time. I'm like, why don't you come to my church? And they say, if I came to your church, the ceiling would fall in on you. I know we have a very old building, okay? It's very old, but it's in great shape. The roof is not going to fall in on you, I promise. You need to come. You are the reason why we do what we do. The people that think that they're unacceptable to God are the people that we do this for. Now we come together to learn and to grow, and it's not just for them. How many know God is for everyone? But we want to be here as a hospital. We want to be here as a place that people can come that are broken, and God can fix them, not us. God can change them. God meets us right where we are. God came through for us by sending his son. He came to us through his son. He came to redeem us, to rescue us, to save us. And it's a gift of salvation. But this is what I want us to understand. The gift of the true gift is the relationship with him. The true gift is not just a one-time thing, but it's something that changes and transforms our lives forever. How many of you have received something that someone has given you that totally revolutionized the whole way you did your life, right? There's some gifts that people gave you and were like, wait, what? That happens? I didn't know that could happen. My life's totally different now, right? We do that on a very, very small scale, but how many of you know God did it on a big scale for us? Everything can be new. Everything can be different. You can't earn it. That's the gospel message. God comes to right where we're at, and he meets us right where we are, who we are, and then from there, he refuses to leave us there. I want to tell you a story about out of the scripture. It's Jesus, and this is where he met some of the disciples to start with. This is in Luke chapter 5. We're going to read several of the verses there, but I'm going to start with chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. I don't know if that's how you say that, but that's how I'm going to say it. Gennesaret. So, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from his boat. So this is where we're at right now. Jesus taught, and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands of people, came around and crowded around him. How many of you like crowds? How many of you know that you see celebrities leaving places and all these people are pushing in and trying to see and it's going back and forth and they got people holding them back and stuff? That's how I pictured Jesus when he was walking around. Everybody wanted to see Jesus. Everybody wanted to come around from him. And so what he did is he made his own little platform. He made his own little stage. I've heard people say they didn't stand on a platform and talk. No, but Jesus stood on a boat just off the shore. He was a little bit higher. He was where nobody could get to him and they could all see. Right? And he spoke to them. That's okay, there's that. So he spoke to them and he started speaking and he started preaching. And this is what ends up happening, man. We see he gets on the boat, distance between him and the crowd, and because the Bible tells us that the crowd pressed in on him. The crowd came around on every side. So he got a little bit of distance and then he taught. And then after he taught the group, he turned around to Simon and said, I want to show you something. Now, that's Toby's translation for what he did, but he said, I want you to do something for me. How many of you know when you step out and do something for God, God always blesses you in return for doing it? And it may not look how you think it should look, or you may not even see what he's doing, but how many of you know he will, I'm going to tell you, he will do it. No matter what he asks you to do, you step out and he will bless you, he will reward you, he will do whatever you want to say for you. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he who must come to God must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God rewards those who trust him, who follow him, who seek after him. He gets in the boat and he talks to the people. Then he turns around to Simon, the owner of the boat, and says, let me do something for you, right? That brings us to my first point. My first point is this. I said, you know what? I'm going to read 4 and 5 first, and then I'm going to tell you my point. You guys ready? It says, when he had finished speaking to Simon, he said, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your words, I'll let down my net. The first point I want us to think about following Jesus today is this. His timing has a way of being very inconvenient in our life, right? It's not at the most convenient times that he says, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. He'd be like, well, I'm supposed to be here. I'm going to be late. Well, if I stop and talk to that person, or if I stop and do this, or if I stop and change a tire for this person, how many of you know that's a ministry too? That's a blessing too. And God uses his children for all kinds of ministry. That's an opportunity. And if I stop and change that tire for that person, that's going to make me late. And then I'm going to be dirty. And then it's inconvenience. But how many of you know, even though it's an inconvenience for you, it's a blessing for someone else and for you as well. I love this story. I love this story because in this we see Peter, Simon, with a little bit of frustration. Like, look, I just did that all night. And now you going to tell me to go out again? Man, because you said to do it, I'm going to do it. That's the only reason why I'm going to do it. How many of you know a lot of things that God asks us to do, we would never do unless he told us to do it, right? Like, he was looking forward to going home to go to bed, I'm sure. Like, we've been all night fishing, all night we've been doing this, and nothing, not a thing. But because you asked me to do it, you know what? Okay, I'm going to do it. He addresses the crowd, then he turns to him, and I love what he says. We worked hard all night, and nothing. We didn't catch a thing. How many of you have been fishing and didn't catch a thing? You kind of bummed. Like, I love fishing, but I didn't catch nothing. It was still fun to be out there. It's still fun to do those things. Now, this was his job, remember? So he did it all the time. Some of us, it's just a blessing that we get to go every now and then. He went all the time. And Jesus' request was an inconvenience. Sometimes when we face an inconvenience in our life, when God asks us to do something, or when someone asks us to do something and it's an inconvenience, do you know what our first, what we all do? There's one thing that we all do. Our first response to inconvenient timing in our life is to procrastinate. How many of you are procrastinators? Whew, come on. I might have to raise a couple of hands and maybe a foot or something. I tend to do that. Here's how it looks. Every day we transform simple and easy things into complex and hard tasks down the road because we don't deal with it today. Let me give you an example. You go home. You look at your grass. Your grass is getting taller. You're like, I'm going to cut it tomorrow. Right? So I have a electric mower. I have a Ryobi electric mower, right? It has a battery. And if I mow my grass when it's short, and I can just breeze over it, I can do it in one battery, right? If I be like, no, I don't want to do it today, maybe tomorrow, and then tomorrow comes the next day, and then the next day comes the next day, and then it's like this high, and I'm out there with my battery mower, and it takes me 2.5 batteries to mow the same little tiny patch. Why? Because I put it off. And now it's a lot more difficult. It's a lot harder to do. And so you know what happens when my grass gets to be that high? I'm like, man, I just don't want to deal with it, man. And then it gets even higher, right? Y'all don't do that, right? But I've done it before. That's how I know. And then you're wading through the grass. Like, my wife's like, there are snakes out there. I'm like, don't worry, you can't see them. It's tall. The grass is tall. And that doesn't work for her. But this is what happens. This is what we do. And this is how we answer God. When he asks us to do something, and our procrastination answer is this. It's like, I'm not saying no that I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying I'm going to do it when I get around to it. So I have a joke. Y'all ready for a joke this morning to lighten things up a little bit? So there was a lady, and she went into the Home Depot or Lowe's. I think she went to Lowe's because I like Lowe's better. She went into Lowe's, and she was shopping, and she looked for the guy in the tool department, and she told him, she said, I need, where do you keep the round two-its? And he said, what? She said, where do you keep the round two-its? He's like, I don't know. She said, it has to be a tool. He said, I don't know what you're telling me. She's like, every time I say, can you fix the sink? Can you tighten up the door? Can you do this? Can you do that? He always says he'll get around to it so he can fix it, right? So they started selling round two-its at Lowe's. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but they have them at Lowe's right now, because some of you have been getting round twos a bunch of stuff, right? Anyway, I know that's bad, but I it's funny to me. So that's what we say. We say, God, not right now. I'll do it when I get around to it, or I'll get it when this is time, or I'll get it when that happens, or it's, I'm not saying no. I'm saying I'm not ready right now. How many of you have seen that in the scripture? God, I'm not ready for it. He's like, yes, you are. Go, go. Getting around to it, procrastination is like the snooze button in life, right? How many of you use the snooze button? So my snoozing has gotten a little out of hand lately because I'll wake up and I'll snooze it, and then I'll snooze it, and then I'll snooze it, and then the next thing I know, it's like an hour later, and then I'm late and running around crazy because I hit my snooze button too many times. I think that was a gift from the enemy so that we would procrastinate on doing things, right? That snooze button is horrible, horrible. But we do that all the time in our life. When God calls us to do something, we put it on hold. We procrastinate. We wait. Instead of getting out and doing it, we hold off. And I'm going to show you the two different mind frames, the two different mindsets with these two quotes from two different people, right? The first quote is from Thomas Jefferson. Most of you guys have heard this one. It says, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. That's by Thomas Jefferson, the words that he says we should live by. Now, here's what Mark Twain says about that same situation. How many of you know you could take the same words and say something totally different out of it, right? Mark Twain said, never put off until tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow, right? And that's how we live our lives, honestly, as Americans. Like, why do it today? I've got plenty of time to do it. I can do it later. We tend to let things grow. We wait last minute to buy Christmas gifts. We wait last minute to buy Mother's Day gifts. Guys, your kids aren't going to make stuff at school. I saw that on the thing. Kids aren't going to be making stuff at school. You only got like 2 weeks left, right? Mother's Day is coming. All the mothers are like, amen. We wait to file our taxes till the last minute. We wait to do this. We wait to do that. We wait to do all kinds of things till the last minute. And then we're running around crazy trying to get it all done. When if we would have just done it before, it would have saved us stress. It would have saved us time, right? It would have saved us all kinds of things. And most of all, it would have given us peace in our hearts because we've done what we should have done a long time ago. We do the same thing with God. We don't give him a defiant no, but it's a I'll wait till later. I wonder how many people are waiting to receive Christ until later that never get an opportunity. That never get an opportunity. James 4, 13 and 14 says, come now, you who say tomorrow we will go into such and such and to such a town and spend the year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a short time, a little time, and then vanishes. And then vanishes. Tomorrow might not come. Tomorrow it might be too late. Tomorrow to speak to that person about what God can do in their life might be too late for them. Tomorrow, waiting to do these things, tell somebody that you love them. Tell somebody how much they mean to you. You know, most of the time, people never know what people truly think about them until they're gone. And then we let everybody else know what we thought about them. How many of you know today is the day that you need to be calling people and say, I love you. This is what you mean to me. This is what you've done. This is what how you changed my life. Today's the day to do that. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Because you know what? Inconvenience stops a lot of things that God wants to do in our life. We allow inconvenience. And we see that Jesus didn't allow inconvenience to stop him. Let me tell you what I'm, let me give you an example. Just a quick example. He's on his way to Jairus' daughter. The woman with the issue of blood comes up. He could be like, hey, not right now, lady. I'm busy. I got to go over here and do this. And that's our answer to what God wants us to do, just to be honest. Not right now. I'm going to do this, and then I'll come back to this if I can get to it, right? Around to it. If I can buy one of those, I'll get to it. God, Jesus is showing us, man, there's going to be times when you're going to have to stop and drop everything. And if you do what I've asked you to do, if you take care of the ministry, the things that I've given to you, the children that I've given you to train up and to raise, if you stop and you invest and you take time and you do those things, those other things, I'll help you get through them too. I'll help you through that too. Don't neglect what God has given us right this minute to do because it's inconvenient. Peter says, you know what, Jesus? Because you said to do it, I'll do it. Number two, his plans for our lives has a way of interrupting the plans that we have for our own lives, right? How many of you have like a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan and a this plan? And I have some ideas about where I'd like to go, but I don't have plans for nothing, right? And you say, well, that's wrong. They shouldn't do that. Well, I do plan. We sit down and say, how can we get to where we're going? How can we get to here? But nothing is set in stone in my life. I learned that from vacationing a while back. We used to come down here when we lived in Louisiana. We used to come down here to Florida, and we used to plan so many things, right? We would plan this and plan that, plan this and plan that. We'd have our whole time planned out, every minute accounted for. And then when something went wrong, I was all mad because it didn't go right. We didn't get to do this. And I made my trip so horrible on myself and others that were around because I had to get these things done that it wasn't worth going, right? So one time, my wife and I sat down and she said, we need to just not plan nothing. Not plan nothing. Is that, yeah. Don't plan anything, right? She said better grammar than I did, but she said, we don't need to plan anything, right? We just need to go. And so people would say, like, well, what you going to do tomorrow? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever comes up. What I feel like doing. What comes and gets set before me, I'll do it. Because some of you know, we fill our time so full, we can't do anything. People call me and need some help, I can't go because I got this, 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 and then this, and this, and this, right? We do that. And how many of you know that's bad? It's a bad thing. We need to put some things down. We need to put some things in stone. But we need to understand, especially today, things changing. Things are different. We need to go with different things and allow our plans to be interrupted by God asking us to do things. Because how many of you know His plans are so much better than our plans anyway? We need to understand that. We need to understand that. Chapter 5 through 10 says this, "And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, we'll let down our nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish in their nets, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners to come out with the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink." So they got so many fish that their boats began to sink, right? Now, I don't know how big these boats were. They might have been little John boats. Maybe, I don't think they were canoes. They were like commercial fishermen. You know, they may have been. I don't know. But they were out, and their boats were so full that they started to sink. So full that they started to go down. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." How many of you know when you see God move and do something in your life, it changes everything? Amen. Right? When you actually see who Jesus is, it shines light on who you are and how far away from Him you are. That's what it does. And that's what it did right here. He saw Jesus do this thing. He said, "Hey, go do this. Listen to what I have to say. Follow me. Follow my direction. Be obedient. And watch what happens." He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Simon Peter was a fisherman. He was from a family of fishermen. Fisherman was in his blood. That's what he had done. That's what he thought that he would do. How many of you know, back then, it's not like today, you can pick your profession and do what you do. And in this time, you did what your dad did and your grandpa did and what that one did. And they passed it down and it was a family trade. And that's what you did. And he did this and this was his job. Jesus interrupts his life. He uses his boat for a pulpit. And then he tells him, "You're going to go fishing." Again, he's a small business owner. Him and his partner, they have two boats, James and John, and they're fishing. And Jesus said, "How you've done things today, you don't ever have to do them that way again." How many of you know in your life, the way that you've done things up until this day, you never have to do them that way again? He can change everything. Put your nets back in the water. Listen to what I have to say and watch a miracle take place. Watch a miracle take place. So the miracle of catching fish and breaking nets, and that was the miracle that they saw that day. But I'm going to tell you something else. There was another miracle that we totally miss in this. The greater miracle was the change in Simon Peter's heart from where he was at to where it brought him to. The change in what he had done. Again, when Simon Peter, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were there with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that he had taken. So we see him go from a hint of frustration. Man, look, we've done this, but I've done the same thing over and over and over. I've done it this way. We did it that way. But because you come and because you tell me this, I'm gonna go do it. I'm gonna go do it. How many of you know a lot of times the first miracle we see in our life from God comes because we're like, "Listen, man, I don't know, but I'm just gonna do it. Just to see what happens," right? Do you know what? He tells us to do that in a couple of places. The first place that we see him to tell us to do that is in our tithes and our offerings, in our giving. He says, give, and watch what I will do. Test me in this. Let me show you what I'll do if you're just obedient. But how many of you know, a lot of times it takes a long time for us to be obedient in that aspect and in others. I mean, that principle works in all the principles God has for us. When we start doing what he's asked us to do, when we start being obedient, when we start following him, we see him change our lives forever. We see him change the way that we think, the way that we do things. He went from a place of frustration to a place of surrender, calling Jesus his Lord, being in all of the presence of him. That's the miracle that we truly see in this verse. in this moment. And how many of you know, it doesn't only change Peter's mind, it changes James and John's mind too, right? It changed the brothers' minds too. What a miracle that we see. Many of us don't want to be interrupted in our lives. We're inconvenienced by it, and because of it, we allow frustrations in our life and other things to come in our life. And I want you to hear this quote, think this thought. The personal frustration that we generally have in our lives is often a result of being spiritually stagnant. Why is that? Because we're not doing what we know we should do. We're not who we know we should be. We may not know who we should be, but we don't like who we are. Right? We may not even understand. See, God wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to make us a new creation, a new creature, a new person, totally different from what we were before. And because of that, everything we do will change. Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen, right? He called them to go out and to reach people. Now, guess what? We see in the scripture that when he died, what did they do? They went back to fishing for a bit, right? Well, he's gone now, so we'll just go fishing for a little while, right? Until they end up changing and doing things and seeing, man, he's still there and he's called us to do something, right? And then what do? Then we see and read about them all through the scripture. We see about them changing the world because they're willing to move. They're willing to do what he's asked them to do. Stagnant means being stuck. Nothing flowing in, nothing flowing out. How many of you know you don't drink stagnant water? If you're out, you're thirsty, you need something to drink, you don't go to a pond that's stagnant. Why? When you start looking at that pond, you'll see that water is nasty. Do this. Put water in a bucket and just leave it there for a while and see what happens to it. Right? There's no flow coming in. Life can't come. Right? What do you have to do if you have a fish tank? You put water in there, you have to put oxygen. You have to put air coming through it. I love the message that Andre preached a while back when it talked about it's his breath that's in us, right? It's his air that's in us. When we don't allow him to come and to change and to renew the inside, we don't keep that coming and going through, guess what? We start to get stagnant, and because we're stagnant, guess what ends up coming out to other people? Not living water, right? Not living water. Makes us frustrated. Then we don't see things happening. We don't think things changing. And so we get upset. We need to turn to him and allow him to continue to allow us to grow and to change. It was one of the things that my pastor used to say. He said, healthy things grow. Growing things have to change. Right? You can't grow without changing. Right? Man, I would love it if my daughters, I love my daughters, I love what they do, but I would love to see them at this age again. I look back and I see pictures and videos and how cute they were. They're still cute. They're still amazing. They're still my girls. But how many of you know, sometimes I'd like to go back to that point. You can't. But how many of you know I can miss that point because I get so busy and it inconveniences me to do things. It's one of the biggest problems I have, man. I get so busy. I get so tired. I get so this, that, and the other that my daughters come in and say, Dad, come do this. Come do this. Come do that. And I don't go do it. You know what? Maybe 10 years, I might be like, I wish I would have done it. Right? Some of the most amazing opportunities in our life come at an inconvenient time. We need to continue to be changed. We need to continue to allow our lives to change. Ephesians 4, 23, 24 says this, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I like the way the Living Bible says it. I'm going to read this to you. It says, now your attitudes and thoughts must be all constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. How many know sometimes we want to accept the gift of Christ, but we don't want to change. We want to stay the same. We want to accept the freedom. We want to accept the relationship that we think that we're going to go into, but we don't ever want to go forward with the relationship. Have you ever met somebody and thought, man, it would be really cool to hang out with them, and then never really hung out with them, right? So let me give you an example. I was thinking about that this morning and last night while I was doing it. So this is the difference between, I'm getting ahead of myself, man, but I don't care. This is the difference between what we do and what we should do, right? A lot of times what we do in our life is 19 years ago, I met the most amazing woman, right? Her name was April, right? And I met her. She was amazing. I could have stopped there and just always had the moment of 19 years ago, I met an amazing woman, right? But it didn't stop there. There was a relationship that came out of it. There was a relationship that came. And now, 19 years later, I have the most amazing, beautiful wife that anybody could have. Sorry, guys, I already got her, right? That's how I feel. And I know you guys feel the same about your wives, and that's the way that you should. But it's one of those situations that I could have stopped at that moment and never gone on with the relationship and missed everything that God was trying to do in my life. There's a lot of people that have met Jesus and have said a prayer and have accepted his forgiveness and accepted that and left it right there. Never changed. Never went forward with the relationship that they should have. Never moved on. Maybe changed a little bit. Maybe changed because, well, I know I'm not supposed to do those things because they said, don't do this and don't do that and don't do this, so I'm going to not do it so everybody thinks I'm really, really in this relationship good. Forget about what people think, man. Get in the relationship. Allow God to change you, to move you from who you were to a new person. Something totally different. We were sitting around yesterday. There was a couple of us here and getting ready for service and doing some different things. And we were sitting there talking about, and we said, listen, we don't do the things we used to do anymore. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, I don't tell them they're number one, right? I don't do it. Why? Because I'm different. I'm changed. That's not who I was. And I'm thankful that I'm not that person anymore, right? Now, do I still get angry and upset? Do I still mess up and yell sometimes? Man, ask my wife, right? Don't ask her. She'll probably tell you. She's truthful. Sometimes I lose it, and I'm not who I should be at all. And I have to go and say, God, forgive me, and move on. That's who I was, and I'm trying to pick it back up again. God, help me not to do that. You've changed me. Let me be new in you. Change me. Change my heart. Some of us say we're followers of Jesus Christ, but we've got the same attitudes, the same thoughts, the same habits we had 5 years ago. It's like, well, I met Christ 10 years ago. Yeah, but if you're not changing from what you did 5 years ago, then you're still stagnant, and you need to keep growing into who he's created you to be. That process will not be over until the day we stand in front of him, I promise you. If you have arrived as a Christian, you're wrong. I'm just saying. I'm just being honest. If you're like, this is as good as I'm going to get, you're wrong. God wants to change you. To be a follower of Jesus is to be growing and to be changing continually. Constantly being changed for the better. Constantly being changed to look more like him. Colossians 3:10 says, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. So if you notice, it doesn't say you put on the new self and you're done. It says you put on the new self and you're constantly being renewed, constantly being changed, constantly learning something more about what he has for you. That's why the scripture always changes. How many of you know that? You say it always changes. What do you mean? Words are still exactly the same, but what I get out of it is different every time I read it. I can read a scripture today and tomorrow that same scripture say something totally different to me. Why? Because it's alive. His word is alive, and it changes our hearts. One of the reasons why is because our perspective at the time changes. Our thoughts change on the subject, on how we should look at things. You tell me something in my life 25 years ago, you tell me that same thing today, how many of you know it affects me totally different? Sure. Totally different. Why? Because I'm different. I'm new. I see more things. I've grown in some ways in my mind, right? I spiritually, I can understand more things. I can see different things. Doesn't make me better. Doesn't make me more holy. Okay, this people that say that is wrong. Okay, doesn't do that. But we all learn at different rates. We all learn at different speeds, different times, at different points in our lives. We're changed by the experiences that we go through, the things that happen in our life. We need to understand that God is constantly showing us areas and ways that we should change. That we should change. And I'm going to tell you something, man. The time is right this minute. The time is right now. We need to change. His timing has a way of being inconvenient, has a way of interrupting our life. But I'm going to tell you this. I want you to understand. Following him, following Jesus, always takes an act of faith. It always takes an act of faith. In Simon's story, this is what Jesus is saying, man. He's like, listen, I know you've done it all night. I know you've been there, but I'm here. It's going to be different. How many know when Jesus is in your life, it's going to be different. And it's going to be better than you could have ever imagined. I guarantee you, when he was putting them nets down, he was probably grumbling in his mind. How many of you have been grumbling? Like, you know, I did this all night. You said do it. I'm just going to do it anyway. Right? Y'all, I'm sure y'all wouldn't have done that, but I probably would have. I'm like, God, I didn't. I've been doing this. Look, you're not a fisherman. You're a carpenter. Right? How you going to tell me how to fish? I've been doing this my whole life, right? Those thoughts probably, it doesn't say it, because he says, hey, man, I'm going to do what you say, right? I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do what you say. But let me explain something to you about faith, how faith works. I love this quote. It's by Martin Luther King Jr. Y'all ready? Faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. It's taking that first step knowing that there's another step, there's going to be another step, and I'm not sure where the stairs are going to lead. I think I know where it's going, but I'm going to take it anyway. We went to a lighthouse, so a couple of them. We went to one in St. Augustine, went to one where's that other place? Anyway, over on the coast, we love going to that one. Ponce Inlet, that's where it's at. We go there, and how many of you know it's way up to the top, and when you start at the bottom, I know how many steps are there because they've told me, but when you start at the bottom, you don't really realize how many steps that is, and you know that it's going to take you somewhere that's going to be really, really cool, so you're going to put yourself through it. I don't want to climb, I think it's like 203 steps. I don't want to climb 203 steps. Like I really don't. But I do want to look at the top from the top of the lighthouse and see out, right? How many people say, in my life, I don't want to do these steps that it takes to get me where God wants me to be. But I understand if I don't go through these steps, I'll never get to where God wants me to be, right? I'll never get to see how beautiful it is, how you can see for miles, how the wind comes through, and you can look all around, you can see the land, you can see the ocean, you can see way out. It's amazing what you can see. You can see how the clouds work on the water because you're up so high. It's so cool as to what you can see when you're in that place. And what does it take, first of all, that step of faith on the bottom, saying, I know I'm going somewhere better than I'm at now, and it's worth doing it, so I'm going to do it. What if Peter would have said, man, look, I'm just tired. I let you stand on my boat for a little while and preach, and you sat down and used that, but I'm ready to go home, right? He never would have met Jesus in the way that he did. He never would have had his life changed the way that it was changed. He never would have got to the top of the staircase, right? We see things differently. We don't understand where we're going to. We don't understand where God's taking us. Even though we think we know where he's taking us, we truly don't. And this is the step of faith that these gentlemen took. Not just Simon, but James and John also. Chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. It says, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And this is the step of faith that they took. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So what did they do? They said, goodbye. Everything that I've known, my life, everything that I've put my time and effort and energy and finances and money and things into, everything that I've poured my life into this far, this is the direction that God is bringing me, and I'm going to step out in faith. Now, don't go home and say, well, God told me to leave my house. Pastor said, leave my house, leave everything. That's not what I said. I said, listen to God and allow God to lead you and guide you in a direction. And when you do, he will change everything. But you have to be willing to give him everything. You have to be willing to give him everything. They left it all. They walked away. They didn't have a backup plan. They didn't have any of these different things. They walked out and said, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And this is the thing, and this is what I want us to catch. This is my one thing about this. All right? Today's sermon, this is my one thing. The act of following is always about the next step. It's always about the next step. It's always about the next step. Let me show you physically what that looks like. My marriage is only going to be as good today as I step into it today, right? I may have messed it up yesterday. I may have done really, really good yesterday. But how many of you know none of that matters if I don't take another step today? How many of you know people, and you watch movies and you see this all the time, you see the 45 or 50-year-old guy that's stuck in his high school glory days, never left them? Remember when I was great back then? Oh, that was the good old days. And still living in the glory of the good old days, but hasn't done a thing in their life since, right? Our lives have to continually grow. We need to continually seek after God. We need to follow Him. How many of you know, looking at this, looking at the scripture, looking at the Bible, not there, look at it right here, looking at the scripture, how many lives did Jesus change? Did He meet? Did they encounter Him? And then they went their own way and never followed Him. Right? How many people were healed? How many people did He change their life? How many people did He do these things? How many people came to Him and said, well, I'll do whatever it takes to follow you. And He says, all right, well, leave that alone. I'm like, well, I'm not following you. Right? The rich young ruler, right? Well, I got all this stuff. He's like, well, then you can't follow me. You have got to give me everything. Not just today, but tomorrow and 5 years from now. That should be our 5-year plan. What's my 5-year plan? I'm going to give God everything. That's my 5-year plan, right? What's my 10-year plan? I'm going to give God everything. I'm going to follow what He has to say. I'm going to ask Him every day, God, what do you want me to do today? What are you putting in front of me today? How do you want me to share your love, grace, and mercy with everybody I come in contact with? Because following always is about the next step. You guys remember playing follow the leader as a kid? When were you out? When you didn't follow them, right? When you didn't do what they did, you were out. All right, you're out. You didn't do it. You're done, right? That's some of us are opting out in areas that we should be following with everything that we have. Luke 9, 24 and 25 says this, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For some of you, the next step is today is saying yes to Jesus Christ and inviting Him into your life. For some of us today, it's taking the next step of commitment and going all in. For some of us today, it's allowing God to change our attitude. It's allowing God to change our thoughts. So giving Him our habits, our bad habits, our things that we don't need to be a part of our life. Maybe they're not technically a bad habit, but it's things that's keeping me from ministering to the people that He's put into my life because I do those things. It's making my witness ineffective. Maybe that's the step that you need to take today. Maybe that's how you need to follow Him. Guys, you can come on back up, whoever's coming. Jesus is calling us to follow Him today. Not just to say a prayer. Not just to say, I want to be different today. Can I be different today? God, I want you to change my situation and then stay exactly where we are. He wants us to change. And today's the day. Now is the day. Now is the time to follow Jesus. Revelation 3:20 says this. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. He doesn't say, I'll just come and hang out with him for a little while. He says, there will be a relationship established. And we'll hang out together. We'll do life together. We'll live together. Today, He's calling you to take a step. Today, He's calling you to follow Him in many different areas, many different aspects of our life. He wants us to take the next step. Today, if you need to take that step to follow Him, I want you to do this with me. I want you to invite Him into your life. The scripture says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we'll be saved. will have that relationship. That relationship will start with him. But it doesn't stop there. But today you need to start that relationship. I want you to say this prayer with me. And remember this. It's not the prayer. It's not the words that we say. I want you, you can say your own words. You can say it however you want to say it. But I want you to invite him into your heart. Invite him into your life. Give him your everything today. Say this after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. The things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You died so that I could have forgiveness. You died so that I could have relationship. You rose again so that I could have freedom. And I accept it now. I ask that you would help me to change. Show me how to follow you. Put people in my life that will help me be who you created me to be. Thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you today need to have your attitudes changed, your thoughts changed. You need to let go of those things that aren't pleasing to God. You need to clothe yourself in that new nature that comes only from the relationship with him. Today we need to see Jesus move in our lives in some ways. And I'm going to pray. I want you to give those things to him. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, God, I ask that you would allow us to see you, see the areas that we need to change, see the things and the issues that we have, Father God. I ask that you'd show us what our next step is. Holy Spirit, give us the courage to take it. Holy Spirit, give us the strength to stand in the middle of all these issues and problems and trials and looking at our past and looking, saying, look, I've tried it before and it didn't work. I've tried it before and it didn't work. But understanding with Jesus a part of this situation, and Jesus calling us to do these things, it can't fail. I ask that you'd help us with those. Get rid of those issues and problems. Help us get rid of those things that are holding on to us. Let us be who you created us to be. New every day. New every day. In Jesus' name. Today, we need to choose. Today, we need to choose to step out and take that next step, even if it's inconvenient. Even if we feel like it's interrupting our lives and our plans and what we had going on. And we need to take that step of faith. I want you to do this for me, man. If you said that prayer today, and you accepted Christ, we want to celebrate with you. I want you to go to lakevictory.com, and on there you'll see a place to hit a connect card. I want you to go on there. I want you to fill that out. Just say, I gave my life to Christ today, or I renewed my relationship, my commitment to him. Maybe you did something else, man. There's a place for prayer requests. There's a place for comments, man. Go ahead and put in there. Say, today I gave God this. Today I gave God that. Let us celebrate with you. Let us be a part of what's happening. And again, that's an opportunity for everybody to use, man. It's on there. Don't forget to go to our website and different things. I'm going to say a prayer real quick. No, I'm not going to say a prayer right now. We're going to sing. We're going to worship God. And then I'm going to come back up and close this out. God is good to us. God is good to us. Thank you.